Good morning. It's good to see you here this morning. You know, when somebody sneezes, what do we usually say to that person when they sneeze? Bless you. Yes, bless you. And that's what our message we're going to learn today. We're looking at Abraham and Sarah. And this is our verse. This is our theme for today. I will bless you. Think how God has blessed us. And you will be a blessing. So bless you. God has blessed us to be a blessing. Now let's bow in prayer as we begin. Father, we thank you that we can come before you. That you are there. That you are. We are worshiping you in spirit and in truth. I pray that you would prepare our hearts. Prepare our ears to hear the word. And open our hearts to receive it. Take the promise of your Spirit. I thank you that you undertake for us and pray that you would speak forth your words to our hearts today and that we would be blessed to be a blessing. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at our theme for the year, Christ is the head of this house. As we look at marriages and families, and we see here, last week we looked at Noah, and now we see through the family of Abraham and Sarah, God's blessing upon the whole world through this family. And so we see here that the blessing that we can be to one another, a blessed husband. Abram means exalted father, and Abraham means father of a multitude. It says in Genesis 17:5, no longer will you be called Abram, your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. And so his wife even called him Lord to show honor to him. Now, wives, do you have an honorable name for your husband? Do you honor your husband with a name? Maybe it's honey or whatever. Or you say honeydew, whatever. Bless our husbands. You know, you can bless your husbands. And then to bless our wives, a blessed wife. Sarai means my princess. Sarah means princess. And so God said unto Abraham, and as for Sarai, your wife, you're no longer to call her Sarai, her name will be Sarah. And so, husbands, do you have a beloved name for your wife? My princess, or sweetheart. And we are blessed of God to bless others, to bless our spouses, to bless our children, and so forth. And so today, we look here how that can be. How five ways to be a blessing. And I want you to see, first of all, the blessing of God's calling. The Lord said unto Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. God called Abram. He was in a land of those who would worship idols. And his family were idol worshipers, but God spoke to his heart and God called him to leave that land. And so we see here God's calling to Abraham. Notice in Hebrews 11, these words here, by faith. Abraham, when called to go to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac, his son, and Jacob, his grandson, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So we see here that God called him. God called Abraham. Now, you think about this, God's calling upon him to leave this land, to leave Ur, the Chaldees, to go to Haran, and there his father passed away, and then from there God led him to go to Canaan, the land of Canaan. And then we'll see later how he went to Egypt. Abraham's journey, God had called him. Now, it's interesting to me also to take note of this, that Sarai, that she had to think about this. She had to trust her husband as he trusted God. And so we see here, trusting God, not knowing what laid ahead, not knowing exactly where God was leading them, but trusting God. And that's really what our life is. It's a journey. Trusting God. Think about that. Our life is a journey. As a married couple, as a family, it's a journey together that we are following the Lord's leading as He would lead us along the way. As we think of God's calling, I also want you to think about this. Keep this in mind also, that there is a calling also to single life. There are some, we see here in the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 7, I wish that all of you were as I am. Paul was single. But each of you have your own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Now to the unmarried and the widows I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do. So there's a gift or a calling of God. If you're not married, you're single, that's God's calling right now for you. You be content with that. You seek God's will. Here's a quote I found that I thought was quite interesting. A godly single answers God's calling in his or her life while single, not waiting for marriage to give him or her purpose or happiness. All right? So we see many who God calls to be single, maybe their whole life, or maybe just a part of their life. There's also God's calling to married life. And Paul continues with these words, but if they cannot control themselves, they should marry. It is better to marry than to burn with passion. So God calls some to be single. God calls some to be married. Whatever your calling is, accept that from God. Be content with that. Be happy with that. And see God's purpose in that. So the first blessing is knowing that God's calling is on our life. And following God's calling, that journey He is calling us to follow Him. And then secondly, I want you to see the second blessing here is the blessing of God's promises. Now, first of all, look here at God's promise to Abraham. There are seven promises given to Abraham in these verses. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. And so these promises were, again, reaffirmed to Abram, again, and also to his son and his son's son. And I want you to notice that this blessings, these seven blessings were particularly to Abraham. Now, not all the promises in God's Word can all of us claim. There are promises that we can claim as Christians, as believers. But there are certain promises we see here to Abraham. All right? So these seven promises are to Abraham. But I want you to take note, especially promise number seven. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. What does that mean? All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. The descendant of Abraham, the Messiah, Christ, through Jesus, by believing in Jesus Christ, by asking Him to forgive us of our sin, we are blessed of God. We can enjoy that blessing through Jesus Christ. And so we see the words here in Ephesians chapter 1. We read these words in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We have every spiritual blessing in Christ. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are blessed of God. And thank God for His blessing. There are many blessings. We were sharing these this past week in our Wednesday morning Bible study as we looked at the five mysteries and the five great mysteries. And the fifth one, it talks about the blessings that we receive through salvation. We have the blessing of our sins forgiven. We have the blessing of eternal life. We have the blessing of becoming children of God. And we have the blessing of peace and of joy and the Holy Spirit within us. And we are blessed. And so spiritually, we are blessed. And we are blessed to what? To be a blessing to others. As God has blessed us, we ought to bless others. And so we see here that we are to be a blessing, as God's blessing, the hand of God. We see here reaching down and giving us His spiritual blessing that we might bless others. And so this promise, we also see that God's promise to the man who fears the Lord. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to Him. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. All right? Those who fear God, the man who fears God, who trusts God, you have a blessing from that. And notice what the blessings that go along with this are given to us here. Tells us here, number one, that person, as they are blessed, we see here that that first blessing here, the first blessing, you will eat the fruit of your labor. It tells us here, blessings and prosperity will be yours. So we see these words here for us, and Psalm 128 and verse 2. And then second blessing, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children, the third blessing, will be like olive shoots around your table. And then we see here the fourth blessing. May you live to see your children's children. And so the blessings that God has given to us, and we take note of these blessings, that they have come from God. And let us not forget how God has poured out these blessings to us. And to me, it's very interesting to see the character here for blessing, the Chinese character for blessing. Here we see the left side is the character for God. Speaks of all blessings come from God. And then it's a personal blessing, one mouth. God pours out to us His blessing in the field that He has called us to be, to follow Him. That field that He has called us to, God pours out His blessing to us. And so we are to be blessed that we might bless others. God has blessed us. And not only the blessing that God has given to the man that fears God, but we see also God's blessing upon the woman who fears God. Take note of this. God promises to the woman who fears the Lord, charm is deceitful and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. There's a blessing upon that woman. Not just the outward beauty, but the blessing that is upon the heart and that person, the woman who fears God. In Proverbs 31, we see here several blessings. Her children arise and call her blessed. Number two, her husband also calls her blessed, and he praises her. Number three, honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. So, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And so she is the woman who fears God, is blessed of God. The man who fears God is blessed of God. And so let us not forget that. That blessing that comes from God, as we fear Him, as we trust Him, He pours out that blessing upon us. And so let us be receive that blessing from God, and let us bless others as we receive that blessing from Him. And then the third thing we see here, the blessing of God's leading. The blessing of God's leading. Let's take note of this, how God's leading of Abraham. And we see in Genesis chapter 12, so Abram went, as the Lord had told him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. So, after his father had passed away, and he took his wife Sarai, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. And Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. So we see here, as God called him, he pitched his tent. He followed the Lord as God was leading him. And so, we think of, reminded of the tabernacle that was the tent that God later instructed Moses. Our lives, God appears to us, God leads us and directs us. And so we see here God's leading upon Abram and the blessing of that. Not only does God lead us, but the second thing we see is that Abram seeks God's leading. That's very important. God, we know, God wants to lead our steps. Each step He wants to lead us as we trust Him. And so we are encouraged then to seek God's leading. And so we read these words here about the seeking of God's leading. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring, I will give this land of Canaan." And so he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. And from there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And then he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Now take note of this, that as he followed Abram followed the Lord. Where he pitched his tent, he also, as the Lord appeared to him, the Lord spoke to him and led him, he made an altar. He worshiped God. And it's interesting, take note of these two, this word here, Bethel, means house of God. I means ruins. I'm sure Abram thought back about his paths, the ruins of his paths, as he had left Ur the Chaldees and had turned to God and trusted God. And before him was a house of God. One day, the city of God, the house of God, as he followed after God, he knew that God was with him. So we seek God's leading. God, what would you have me to do? We make that our prayer. We seek the Word of God to allow God to read, also to lead us through His Word. And then the third thing I want you to see that sometimes happens, and this is a warning to all of us. We see here the third thing is Abraham schemes. Then Abram set out and continued toward Negev. Now, that's going further south. It doesn't tell us here that God was leading him to that place. It doesn't tell us then what happened here. Now, there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. And again, it doesn't tell us that God was leading him to go down to Egypt. And Egypt, often the Word of God is a picture of the world, going down to the world. You know, when we don't trust God, we go down to Egypt. And when we trust our own ways, we go down to Egypt. And so, as he was about to enter into Egypt, he said to his wife, Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is your wife. And then they will kill me, but will let you live. So I want you to say that you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. Then we see that because of this scheme of Abram, his scheme really was a half-truth. Sarai was his half-sister. All right? Same father, different mother, his half-sister. But this was a half-truth. Rather than trusting God, he trusted his own scheme. And many times we fall in the same trap. We have our own schemes. We have our own ideas. And rather than trusting God, we follow those. Say that you're my sister. And because of that, they offered dowry to him. And they gave him many things. And so it seemed like this scheme was working. But then it was discovered, the truth was discovered. And then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. He was sent on his way. And then it's bad enough that this happened one time. Later on in chapter 20, Abimelech, we see Abraham doing this at least one more time. Again, you tell everybody, you're my sister. Again, trusting his own scheme, his own plans. And there are consequences of that. We read later that Isaac, his son, did the same thing with his wife. She's my sister. Jacob, his grandson, was known as a schemer. And so we need to be aware of this. There are consequences that pass not only in our own lives, but pass on down. And so we see Abram's schemes. And then I want you to take note of this. The next thing that we see, number four, is the blessing of God's testing. When we're tested, we're trialed. We don't often think of that as a blessing, but there is a blessing in the testing. God's testing of Abraham's faith. First of all, there was a test of trusting self. And so we come here to chapter 15. Do not be afraid, Abram, God says to him. I am your shield and your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. Look, I'm still childless. You promised me I would be a exalted father, a father of many nations. And I'm still childless. Why don't you take my servant and let through my servant. So again, trusting in himself, through my servant, Eliezer, give me my descendants. And Abram said, you have given me no children, and as a servant in my household will he be my heir. And then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky, count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to them, so shall your offspring be. And notice these words here. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. He trusted God. He believed God. You know, it's easy to come up with our own, trusting our own self, or come up with our own schemes. And the other thing that he was tested here, we see, is testing of trusting others. You know, maybe someone else has another idea. And so we see here Sarai. Now Sarai, Abram's father, had borne him no children. Now she has a plan. She has an idea. But she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. And so she said to Abram, Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. And Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave him to her husband. And so we see what happened here. Gave her to her husband and to be his wife. And he slept with Hagar and she conceived. And when she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress, Sarai. And then Sarai said to Abram, You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. Your slave is in your hands. Abram said, do with her whatever you think best. And here we see, again, human plans. Sarai, the custom of that day is, if you didn't have children, you could maybe have children through your slave. And so, having heard of this custom, Sarai thought, well, here's the way we'll do this. Again, not seeking that this was trusting God and His plan, His will, she gave Hagar, her slave, to Abram. And then when she became pregnant, she was proud of it. Hagar was, and Sarai was jealous of this. And so, trusting others, that's a test of our faith. Not to trust ourselves, not to trust others, but remember to trust, keep our eyes on the Lord, to trust Him. And then the third thing is really the test of trusting God. Are we going to trust God even when the impossible, that which seems impossible, for Abraham to have children, but also what came next? Sometime later, God tested Abram. He said to him, Abram, here I am, he replied. And God said, take your son. After God had given him his son, Isaac, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go up to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain, and I will show you. And so, Abram now could not come up with his own plan, could not come up with another person's plan. God was testing him. Would he trust God? And so, he trusted God. Now, I want you to imagine what if you were in his shoes. Here, we get a glimpse of that, what Abraham was thinking here. By faith, Hebrews 11 tells us, Abram, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a matter of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. You know, he thought in his mind that if I sacrifice my son, God can raise him up. Of course, this is a picture of how God gave His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and again rose again. But in the story of Abram, just as he was willing to sacrifice his son, the angel told him to stop and to look, and there was a lamb to die in the place of his son, to be sacrificed in the place of his son. And so, we see here that Abram passed this test of faith. Now, we're reminded of Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. It was impossible that he would even have a child at the age of 100 and Sarah being 90. But God gave them a child. And so we need to remember this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not to lean on our own understanding. And then we see Sarah was also tested. God's testing on Sarah's faith. The test of barrenness. Now, Sarai was childless because she was not able to conceive. Now, in that day of time, it was thought you were not just childless, you were worthless. And so you can imagine the test of Sarah's faith here. And then the test of jealousy when Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. When, according to Sarah's plan, Hagar bore a child, and Sarah was jealous, the test of jealousy. But then we see here also the test of honesty. Then the Lord said unto Abram, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? And then the question here, is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. And Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh. But he said, yes, you did laugh. Now the laughter here of Sarah was the laughter of unbelief. How could that be? Ha ha! How could that be? Doubting the Word of God. And then we'll look here at Hebrews 11, the words about Sarah's faith. By faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Yes, Sarah laughed. It's interesting that when we think it's so impossible, how could that happen? And then God does it. Think this, God gets the last laugh. And so when they bore Isaac, you know what Isaac means? Isaac means laughter. Laughter. All right? And so we see here the test that come. You know, God also tests our faith, the testing of your faith. James 1 tells us, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So you will not quit, you will continue, endure. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And so think about this, that we are all in the school of faith. We are all in that school of faith. We must have occasional tests so that we will know where we are spiritually. Now, you all remember when you were in school, every teacher gives you tests. And it shows what you have learned and what you need to learn. And in life, we have the school of faith. We have tests. It shows what we have learned and what we still need to learn. And so we have the need to be in the school of faith. And that's a blessing. And then fifthly, I want you to see the blessing of God's answers to prayer. Abraham's prayer for Lot, his nephew. He prayed for his nephew. And we're encouraged to pray for our family. Never give up praying for your family. Every day, as parents, we need to pray for our children. As children, we need to pray for your parents. And so we see here, Abram remained standing before the Lord. Then Abram approached him, the angel, and he said, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? As these angels told about the judgment that was going to come upon Sodom. What if there are only 50? If there are 50 righteous people in the city, will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous people in it? And then he continued to intercede on behalf of his nephew. And he says, well, what if there are 45? Will you do this? What if there are 40? What if there are 30, 20, 10? Next time we're going to look at the life of Lot and his wife. And it seems like there may have been 10 members of that family. So I think he was interceding for Lot. Could you spare that city? Would you spare that because of the Lot? And we'll see next time what happened. But I want you to see here that he interceded. Parents, we need to pray for our children. Intercede for them. This week, our prayer request, one of them was for the prodigal. And sometimes within our family, we have the children who are prodigals, who may be rebellious. And we must not cease to pray for them and continue to pray for them. And then we see his prayer for Isaac. And Abraham fell down and he laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man who is 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And then God said, yes. But your wife, Sarah, will bear a child, and you will call him Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And so he laughed. Could that be possible? And then one day, he would hold his child, Isaac, meaning laughter. Don't forget, you laughed, but God did it. You laughed thinking it was impossible, but God did it. And so let us be encouraged to pray, not just for Lot, but for Isaac. And then we see also he prayed for Ishmael. He even prayed for Ishmael and his prayers for Ishmael. Let us never forget to uphold in prayer the blessings of prayer. I'm so thankful for the prayers of my mother. And so we need to pray for our families. And so I want you to think about this. Abraham was blessed by God. Melchizedek blessed Abraham and said, blessed be Abram by God Most High, Creator of heaven and earth. Abraham was now very old, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. Sarah was blessed by God, and I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. And I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. The kings of peoples will come from her. And then Isaac was blessed by God. Abram would surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on the earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just so that the Lord will bring about for Abram what he has promised him. So think of this here. You are blessed of God to be a blessing. You are blessed of God. Never forget God's blessing upon you. But you are blessed of God to be a blessing to others. And so I think we need to consider this here. Husband, are you a blessing to your wife? Do you bless your wife? Wife, are you a blessing to your husband? Parents, are you a blessing to your children? Grandparents, are you a blessing to your grandchildren? Children, are you a blessing to your parents? Make me a blessing to someone today. There are so many ways we can bless others. John Trent has written a series of books, 30 Ways a Husband Can Bless His Wife. If you want to think of ways you can bless your wife, maybe you can get that book and find some details, some ways you can bless your wife. Every day I think of that, 30 Ways. And he also wrote the book, 30 Ways a Wife Can Bless Her Husband, 30 Ways a Father Can Bless His children, and 30 ways a mother can bless her children. God has blessed you to be a blessing to your family and to others. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we come before you and we thank you for the blessings you have given to us through Abraham, through Jesus Christ, By receiving Him as our Lord and Savior, you have blessed us with so many spiritual blessings. And yet, you have blessed us that we might be a blessing to others. Help us as husbands to bless our wives, wives to bless their husbands, fathers to bless their children, and mothers to bless their children. Father, help us to bless others. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.